This is a whole person program. Our students are not just learning to be better professionals. They're becoming better people. And they're approaching a lot of life differently after going through this program. So they're not only just getting a master's, they're getting transformation.
Meet Sharonda, who's been the program manager for the Executive Masters in HRD at the University of Houston since 2019. In her role, Sharonda gets to meet potential students before they even start the program. She's there to orient them into the program, she connects with them each week, and she's there at the end when they graduate. She therefore has a wonderful view into what people hope to get from the Executive Masters, what they actually get, and the benefits that flow from the experience. Let's hear more about it in her own words.
At the end, people are crying, talking about the things that they've learned and how this program has changed them. I see that, and they see that. They're just proving that things can be done, that a mother with a newborn can go through an executive program, that a son from a family who, you know, no one has a college degree can overcome that station in life, or a single mom with three kids can get through this program. Some of them are here, you know, because they want to prove something to themselves. They want to prove something to their families. They, you know, they want to get the master's, but they also want to make a change for better and show their children or their mom or their dad that they can do this, and also prove to themselves that they can do it. So there are just so many, I guess, doors that are being kicked in by our students. And I think it's just amazing. And I am so proud to be a part of the program.
Welcome to Executive HRD. I'm your host, Darren Short, and in this series of 10 episodes, we're lifting up the hood and looking inside of the University of Houston's Executive Masters in HRD to explore what it means to undertake an HRD Masters and to surface some of the expected and unexpected benefits. Across the series, each of the 10 episodes focuses on a different aspect of the program. We'll explore everything from the way the program is designed, through to the content and the student experience, and then to the benefits for individuals and organizations. Along the way, we'll meet current and former students and faculty members, as well as others involved in the program, to learn about what makes the University of Houston Executive Masters in HRD so special, as it celebrates its 10-year anniversary. Here in Episode 1, we'll take the first of two looks at the program's benefits by answering the question, how does executive education impact the individual? Then in Episode 2, we'll hear about how the program is designed to deliver these benefits. Over the next 40 minutes, we'll meet six former students. We'll hear why they signed up for the program, what they learned, and how their lives changed during the program and since graduating. We'll also hear from two members of the program's advisory board about how employers view the qualities of those graduating from the Executive Masters and how those qualities differentiate them from other applicants. And we'll also hear from Dr. Consuelo Waite, Director of the Executive Masters, about the results of studies into the program's benefits. Finally, we'll wrap up with some recommendations on who would benefit from the program. Let's start by meeting the first of the six alumni that will feature during the episode. Manny graduated from the program in 2019, and he spoke with me about how the Executive Masters fitted into his plan to specialize in HR work after 27 years in the military and 5 combat tours. Let's hear from Manny about what he gained from the program.
I didn't expect that much because I had already gone through an MBA program, and MBA program was very regimental, you know, traditional. And from day one, the orientation that they had for us, I knew that this program was totally different. Despite having a career in the United States Army, this program unlocked a whole new level of focus, the discipline, the capacity to be my very best self. Because we got pushed out of our comfort zones in this program. And I did not expect that. You know, every day we were up and giving presentations. A lot of people are not used to getting in front of folks every day. And here we are getting up in front of folks and talking and explaining and persuading. So our vocabulary definitely changed. Folks at my work at the Federal Aviation Administration were seeing the difference. They could see the difference. They could see that I was using different terminology. And of course, you know, part of the program, we have what's called the Strategic Research Project, where you look at an area in your organization that you want to improve. And you sit down with your boss, if you will. In this case, it was the director for me. And I was able to ask them questions, just like an internal consultant or an external consultant would. And we would go through the whole consulting process. That is what the program has given me. And I've been able to demonstrate that everywhere that I've been. And it's been very successful. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. The experience that you're going to get from this program is not, you know, hey, here's a piece of paper, you know, I have a degree. And it's not, because a diploma is just a piece of paper. It's what you do with that piece of paper.
When I spoke with Manny, I found it interesting how he found so much benefit from the Executive Masters, having already completed an MBA and on top of 27 years of experience in the military. And that in describing the benefits, he went so far as to say that the program gave him the capacity to be his very best self. There's certainly something special about that statement, especially when it's combined with Manny referring to the program as life-changing. I'd expected to hear about the learning that happened in the program, like models, tools, methods. And yet Manny focused more on how the program is more than just a piece of paper to show that you've graduated. So if the program is life-changing, let's hear more from Manny about how that worked in practice after he graduated.
I moved on from the Federal Aviation Administration over to the city of Houston, and it was an increase in position, increase in pay, increase in everything. And I got to apply it for the first time, saying, you know what, I am out of where I started this program. I'm out here. I'm done with the program. Let's see what this program can do for me. And I applied everything that I knew, the change management, the process improvement, working with folks. Because I got hired on as a project manager, and within 4 months, I was promoted to division manager, where I had over 200 employees. I was there maybe a year and a half when FEMA approached me and asked me, you know, if I was interested in taking over as the task force manager for Houston. And I had to jump at the chance. I said, you know what, why not? And I'm applying the same concepts, the same approach from the program where I'm at, and it's great. And this is exactly, I feel comfortable where I'm at. I am teaching, coaching, mentoring, and definitely enjoy what I do. And I am very, very lucky and happy that I went through this program.
Manny spoke there about how he's used approaches from the program and has gained new positions that were increases in pay and responsibility. Let's now hear from a second former student of the program, Anne, who has a different background to Manny. She was transitioning from a career in teaching to one in the corporate world, and was looking for ways to flourish in that new environment. Let's hear from Anne about how the program helped her.
Before I went into the master's program, you know, coming from teaching, you know, I had the skill set that made me a very, very effective teacher. I enjoyed my teaching career very, very much. And then going into a corporate world where they need the skill sets that I'm bringing. But for some reason, you know, as a teacher, always feeling like, oh, the corporate world is this different environment that somehow is, you know, requires some other set of magical skills or something to be in this, you know, big corporate world. For a little while, I was like insecure. So I would sit in meetings and I would know it needs to be done and know what I want to share, but I wouldn't say anything because I didn't have the confidence. So then after I left the meeting, I would be all frustrated, you're frustrated at myself, annoyed at myself because I didn't speak up. And now I just have a confidence that, And it's not an arrogance. It's a confidence of being so grounded and so rooted and knowing that what I bring to the table is real and that my skill sets are real. I'm able to move differently in spaces because you have that confidence. You're more empathetic to other people. I'm listening more effectively. I'm asking better questions. I have more definitely of a systems thinking. I see the interconnectedness of a lot of things. And through all that, I'm just able to move with more decisiveness and with action because I'm more confident. But I'm also able to enroll others along the way in terms of what I am trying to do. So with the cohort, again, it gave me the language. It gave me the skills to communicate with the business. It's true learning versus just moving through the motions so you can get a piece of paper that says that you have a degree. And the transformation that happens to the cohort, the skills and the knowledge of the degree is one thing, but it's the relationships. It's really getting to know yourself, because that's what's going to truly make you impactful, especially in the field of HRD. Like, you have to master yourself. You have to understand yourself so that you can move others. And I think that was what the cohort really did for me, is it just really helped me develop my personal development as a person so I could be more effective in the organization.
Like Manny, Anne spoke there about how the program was more than just a piece of paper saying that you have a degree. It gave her a new confidence and new skills so that she could transform and be more effective in her work. Let's now hear more from Anne about how this transformation happened in the workplace and where her career has gone since leaving the program.
The support that I found in my professors, you know, Dr. Chapman is still someone I consider my mentor. It was one line that he told me that was the true changing point in my career. I remember he told me, he said, "Hey, when you join a law firm, you don't wait to become a partner to start acting like a partner. You act like a partner, and that's how you become a partner." And after he told me that, that's when I stopped waiting for somebody to give me permission to do the things that I knew needed to be done. So I went back to work the next day and I sent out an email. I put together the project team and I just started doing the things. And that eventually is what led to my promotion, because I just started doing it. And it was like, okay, what are we going to do next? And so my career has taken me, so I started in teaching, I went into medical devices, I went into oil and energy, went into government administration, went back to teaching during COVID last year, spent a little time with the software company, and now I work for the largest med tech company in the world. And so that speaks to the skills that I learned inside this program, that it just gives me the freedom to operate and build programs in across different industries.
It's interesting to compare how Anne described herself prior to the program and how she described her career since leaving the program. That transformation from someone finding their feet in a new corporate world to someone who has the confidence and skills to move between sectors and to be successful in each of those. As she said, it's given her the freedom to operate across different industries. We've now met two of our six alumni, and already we're seeing a few patterns emerging around how the program transforms and brings new opportunities. To see whether those patterns continue, let's now meet Ed. Like Manny, he'd had a successful career in the military. So let's hear the story of how and why Ed joined the Executive Masters.
I served in the military for 21 years, and I thought, man, after I get out of this service, you know, I'm going to have so much experience there. People are going to be searching me down and wanting to give me an opportunity. And that just wasn't the case. It seemed like at every turn, I was being denied because of a lack of education. It could have been a lot of factors, but that's what pretty much I attribute it to. In the Marine Corps, there's a lot of opportunities for education. But when you're moving every 2 years, when you're gone every 6 months on deployments, I mean, it doesn't give you a good opportunity to finish, you know, your 4-year degrees. I had a lot of experience in learning and development. You know, I created a lot of leadership courses throughout my career, and I was actually in charge of a leadership academy for international students. I've spoken to generals, I've spoken to presidents and vice presidents, when they came to our base to visit. So I've spoken to leaders before, but not specifically in business and in learning. I mean, the military jargon is a lot different than business jargon. I didn't have the vernacular to be able to compete in the industry. Those are the skills that I didn't have. When it comes down to it, if someone has the education, I think that they preferred those people over the experience. So, I took whatever job was available, barely making it. And even when I took that job, I was in charge of training people that would eventually become my bosses because they had the education and I didn't. So I decided that I needed to fast track. And I started my associate's degree back in 2012. And a couple of years later in 2019, finished my master's degree. It was a really, really fast track.
Ed mentioned there about a couple of challenges. First of all, of not having the qualifications to back up his experience. And second of all, not having the language to be successful in business. When you've been successful in one sector for that many years, it's natural that there's a challenge in learning how to be successful in a different type of sector, even when the work is similar. But in the new sector, business cases and decisions are most likely made differently, and it's tough to know what influences leaders and how to influence them. So let's now hear from Ed about how that changed as a result of what he learned from the Executive Masters.
When I applied for different positions, and I was still going through the master's program, so I started applying to the city of Houston. One of the positions was a training coordinator position. It wasn't where I wanted to be, but it was going to be a start. It was going to be in a learning and development capacity. And so I was able to use a lot of these terms that I'm learning at the Executive HRD. I felt really confident using those terms. And I got the job. This was right in the middle of the program. And then towards the end of the program, when we were, I think it was a month or two shy before graduation, I applied to another position within the city of Houston. It was a management position. This is where I wanted to go, into management, into learning and development capacity as well. I mean, I was just so confident going in there that, I think I blew everyone out of the water. I impressed a lot of people. And they've actually told me, as I started knowing the departments around here and talking to those people that actually hired me, they actually told me there was no competition. You had this job from the very beginning. Even through your resume, you had this job just based on your resume. And my gosh, when people tell you stuff like that, that kind of legitimizes what we learned in the HRD program. I'm actually now in the executive suite. So after the manager position, 1 year after that, 1 year after graduating from the master's program, the master's HRD program, I applied for another position as a director. And same thing, the vernacular. There was people that were going up against me for this position that already had doctorate degrees and they had a lot of experiences, but I think it had to do with the way you presented that. Did people believe you? I think that was the main thing. Do you use the words that are used, the vernacular that is used in the industry? And for me, it was definitely, and for the other folks, it was not. And so I think that's what got me to where I am right now.
It's quite motivational to hear Ed talking about his career over the last few years, hearing how he dived into 7 years of education and all of the personal sacrifices associated with such a fast-tracked experience, and how the outcome has been the opportunity to progress through multiple roles with a series of increasing responsibilities. Ed talks about having the language or the vernacular to be able to communicate confidently about what he knows and can do. let's take this opportunity to meet our fourth former student. Already we've heard from Manny and Ed, who are transitioning from successful careers in the military, and Anne, who is transitioning from a successful career as a teacher. Let's now meet Ashley. As you'll hear, she wasn't looking to transition from anywhere to anywhere, but was instead interested to deepen her understanding. Let's hear what happened from Ashley herself.
My career has always been in sales. I really wanted to go back to school, and I became very interested in the U of H program because I felt like I had a very good business understanding already. And while I knew an MBA would be of a benefit, I was looking for something on how to more so affect change in my organization, understand how adults learn, and how to facilitate change management in organization. I felt like that would be very beneficial as I worked my way up in leadership. I'd say the project that we worked on throughout, you know, the whole year that I was in the program was probably the most influential. So we had to pick a project, and I saw the need that we really needed some sort of sales development program to bring in people from university, as we really had no talent pipeline into the organization, especially my division. And so I put together this whole case and presented it to my manager, who then presented it to leadership, got it involved with HR. And, you know, I just had a lot of passion around it because, especially the subject, because it was something that I went through personally, and I felt like it was very influential in my career. I probably would say that probably was a very pivotal point in my career, because if had it not been for that project, I would have never proposed this to leadership. I would have never gotten that exposure into leadership. And I think it really changed their perception of me, because they really saw me as something more than just a salesperson, because I was really able to affect organizational change. I had to work with HR. I had to work with different divisions, recruiting. It was a huge turning point in my career, honestly. I'd been getting roles of increasing responsibility, but the fact that I was able to make a organizational change at the level that I did and kind of work with leadership and guide them, and also my degree, allowed me to move into, you know, kind of training and development in the sales readiness position. If I did not have the degree, I don't think I would have been considered.
Listening to Ashley there, we gain a different perspective on program benefits. As we've heard from others, it can be about gaining new opportunities in new organizations. But Ashley's story is one of gaining new opportunities in the same organization, thanks to the strategic project in the program, which gave her exposure to company leadership and key functions like HR, and that exposure changed their perception of her. As Ashley stated, it was a huge turning point in her career, and it allowed her to transition into a sales readiness role that she probably wouldn't have been considered for otherwise. So it's another example of doors opening, of lives changing. We have two more alumni to meet in the episode. Already, we've heard from two people transitioning from successful careers in the military, someone who was looking to shift direction from teaching, and someone who was looking to advance their career within sales. All four had some clarity over what they wanted from a career and found that the program provided a pathway to greater opportunities. Up next, we hear from Winston, who entered the program with a different goal, that of finding his sense of purpose. Let's hear about it in Winston's words.
It's been quite a bit of soul searching that I've been doing for the last good 10 years as to what I should do, what my career should be. You know, it's that question you have when you tend to get lost early on in life and you go places, they don't fit right. All of that was great. It provided a livelihood, it provided, you know, a great career, but it never really provided a purpose. And my primary intention of choosing the executive master's program was, can I find a program that can almost guide me to that? When you try to find what you're good at, what you want to do, and what the market actually needs, it's very hard to find a concentric circle where all those three paradigms meet. But I found it in the sense that such a function of developing people. I mean, everyone says they love working with people, and who doesn't work with another person? But the focus on development of others to be the best that they can be, that is what this program offered for me. And that was what I was trying to find for, you know, more than a decade. And that's what I got from the program. It was really a big bolus, if you will, of development and research and learning meshed with the right tools and techniques that I could use and deploy in whichever way I wanted. So since I started the program, I've actually transitioned my career completely from supply chain to human resources as a talent acquisition specialist in the same organization I worked, leading the diversity initiative, undergraduate mentoring and coaching, along with really partnering with the chief human resource officer in developing our HR organization. And really, it's that crucible of that trying furnace for 11 months. If taken seriously, that's what hones that really, you know, that experience of self-awareness, where you say, what do I really want to do? Where am I really going? What am I good at? Why am I struggling with things that I shouldn't be doing, I don't want to do, and how I can take a risk and succeed?
There must be a lot of people in a similar position to Winston, people who are looking for a sense of purpose, who are exploring different roles, looking for one that fits. And it's nice to hear from Winston about how the program not only helped him to find that, but also enabled him to transition into a new role within the organization. Let's now meet the last of our six alumni. As you know, we've already met with two former members of the military, Manny and Ed. Both leveraged the program to find success in their new organizations, with Manny talking about how the program gave him the capacity to be his best self, and Ed talking about the key role in learning the language of business. Let's now meet Stephen, a third person who transitioned from the military and who graduated from the program in 2015. As you'll hear, he had a similar story to Manny and Ed. However, Stephen's experience adds something new to our exploration of the program's benefits. Here's Stephen.
I just wanted to take advantage of the post 9/11 GI Bill that the military had given me. And so I started looking for some programs. And then I realized that I didn't want to do an online program. I wanted a program that was connected to the community. So, you know, was looking for something specifically at the University of Houston. And I was in HR, so HR in the title. I said, maybe this is what I should be doing. I spent, you know, 21 years in the military. And I think that the military gives a good framework for a lot of this and how it's done, you know, on a big scale. But to understand how this happens and occurs in a corporate space outside of the military sector was really fascinating to me. Before this program, you know, I would make decisions not based on data, based on my gut. I couldn't articulate my thoughts in a way that could help influence the business. You know, I was working as an individual contributor, but not in a strategic capacity, although these are areas that I wanted to operate in. But how can I demonstrate my capabilities was a missing piece. And so this program really helped me understand how to operate in that space strategically and change and influence the business. So I definitely have a toolkit and an understanding of the tools that's in that toolkit and how to use them and when to use them. You know, so the program gave me an analytical framework to operate from, you know, and how I can work analytically and make decisions based on data.
Stephen spoke there about using data to make decisions and how the program gave him an analytical framework that allowed him to operate more strategically and to influence the business. That's a powerful toolkit and mindset. And so let's hear more from Stephen about how that changed the way he was perceived in the workplace.
The program really changed the way that I think, the way that I approach, the way I analyze, the way I react, the way I respond, and in my engagement with others. They can't put their finger on it. They just know my approach is different. You know, they know I have a different structure to me, different cadence, a different rhythm. They don't know where it comes from. They just, man, you just, wow, you just do things different. Wow, I like the way that you engage others. I like the way you follow through. I like your analytical mindset. You know, you just think about things in a different way. You ask these questions that no one else asks. But that's a product of the program. You know, that's kind of like how you're taught. And so it's not that I have to say, hey, I have a master's degree in human resource development. It's just the way that I engage about my day-to-day operations. And so that has given me recognition in a way of from a performance standpoint. So definitely has helped me. I'll tell you this, if I had to spend, you know, whatever the program cost, if the military wasn't paying for it and I had to pay for it out of my own pocket, I had to take loans to pay for it, I would do it in a heartbeat. You know, I would pay for it out of my own pocket in a heartbeat because I think it helped me progress in my career in a way that it was definitely worth it from a financial standpoint, you know, from where I started, where I could still be to where I'm at right now, you know, because I went through the program.
Like others we've heard from in the episode, Stephen spotlights how the executive masters helped him to gain recognition within his organization and also allowed him to progress in his career. And then he wrapped up by talking about how it was worth it from a financial standpoint. That transitions us nicely into hearing next from Dr. Consuelo Waite, Director of the Executive Masters in HRD.
We have a study on the value of the degree. Most recently, we published an adaptive performance, and we went back to our alumni and asked, hey, tell us about on-the-job experiences. What are your successes? And where did you feel you were not optimal? And from those stories, we learned a lot about their adaptability, their adaptive performance, which then informs us in how we teach, what we teach, because adaptability, agility, all of that is significant to someone's success in the workplace. Through the survey, we know that about 98% of our students do get a return on investment within 18 months. This is the ability to get the money that you give back into the program. We know that we're not the only variable in that success because the market has to have the opportunities. Organizations need to be willing to promote, willing to hire. But the fact is that our students gain the visibility of senior leaders very quickly because they come in with language, they come in with experience because of what we do in the classroom. They are gaining experiences. They're taking it back to work. So they're growing, developing, and their leaders, this is not at the end of the program that they get to see this change. It is a continuous observation, feedback process regarding their performance on the job. And therein is our value proposition. We're not giving you a degree. Yes, you're going to get the piece of paper, but what we give you is this continuous opportunity to be visible, to build credibility, and to have impact in your organization.
It's impressive that the university reaches out to alumni to hear about how the program has benefited them. And even more impressive to hear about 98% of students receiving a return on investment within 18 months. As Consuelo stated, that comes in part because of a value proposition of increased visibility, credibility, and impact that starts during the program and continues after it. So far in the episode, we've heard from 6 people who've completed the program and 2 who are closely involved in leading and managing the program. Let's now hear from 2 people who are able to look at the program benefits from the perspective of potential employers. Guillermo Martinez Sanz and Charles Shaw are both members of the advisory board. As business leaders in their own right, they work with the university to ensure that the content stays relevant and reflects the realities of a changing workplace. They also have the opportunity to see the qualities of those coming out of the program and how people change as a result of the program. And they can then put these into the context of how current and potential employers would view those qualities. Let's hear first from Guillermo, who is the Executive Vice President of Human Resources for CEMEX, the global building materials company.
Well, first, they have a higher level of command of the basic techniques. They are very familiar with the cutting edge technologies, how training is changing, particularly with social media, how things have evolved, right? So they are much more up to date on the basic processes and tools out there in the market. So they bring with them a additional value that we don't see in other candidates. Probably what we see in other candidates is also the potential to develop and to use more intensively the mindset attributes potential they have, the personality potential they have, and we need to develop them. We need to help them development. With the candidates coming from this program, obviously the program has already done that. So they have the program has helped them develop the potential into actual behavior. That's the purpose of any training, if you think about it, transforming potential into behavior. So with the graduates of this program, they come to work already showing the behavior. So that transformation has already occurred. At the end of the day, what really matters is what we do, not what we say or what we could do.
Now let's hear the perspective of Charles Shaw, who is the Global Learning Director at Meta and who has been on the advisory board since the program started.
What most employers want to see is a person's ability to problem solve, build, and create. I think that's what you're getting. And having to work through a number of different variables and issues and make it make sense. The speed at which we're moving now is just complex and takes time to absorb and develop some rhythms around. And there isn't a simple answer, but I'm confident in my ability to sort of dissect and pull apart all the relevant information I need to move this project forward. I think that's more attractive to me. I'm always impressed by people's ability to think through really complex issues. You know, working with colleagues and peers cross-functionally and pulling in thinking that's not traditional. The other thing I think too is like comfortable with ambiguity. It's related to problem solving, but this comfort with ambiguity that really seasoned professionals who spend some time tackling issues that aren't always easily solvable. I mean, I've seen these students and I've seen employers wrestle with that too. And we're looking for people who can really be comfortable with that ambiguity and provide a roadmap for how to solve these issues in a way that's rational, data-driven, and really puts their intellectual prowess on display. It's just not about solving one problem in the way we used to think about it with a fixed like toolkit. It is, the toolkits are like for reference, but you know, your tenacity, ability to deal with some of this stuff and think through it and invite people into that with you, I think is much more attractive.
It's interesting listening there to both Guillermo and Charles, two members of the advisory board, about what employers are looking for and how those completing the program stand out from other applicants. Guillermo emphasized that they arrive at the job ready to make an impact. Charles emphasized how those completing the program are confident, data-driven, and can refer to their toolkits as they think through complex, ambiguous issues. As we inch towards wrapping up our episode, I've saved three extracts for the end to explore the question of who should sign up to the program. First, though, let's consider what we've learned about the benefits of the Executive Masters in HRD. We've heard from former students about how it's helped to provide a sense of purpose, provide the confidence, language, and tools to advance a career or switch careers, how it's helped to raise visibility and credibility. We've heard from business leaders about how these combine to make someone far more attractive to current and potential employers. And we've heard from program leadership and management about how the program offers a value proposition that delivers a return on investment. We've also heard some powerful phrases along the way. Phrases like life-changing, transforming, and giving someone the capability to be their best self. To wrap up the episode, let's hear three short extracts on who would benefit from the program, starting with advisory board member Guillermo.
I would highly encourage any human resources professional to do it, because it's going to be an accelerator of growth. This program is going to give him or her the tools to grow basic human resources skills and mindset, and that growth is going to allow them to basically to grow in the human resources organizations they are part of. So I strongly recommend to use this as an enabler for growth.
Next, let's hear about who should attend the program from a second advisory board member, Charles.
I think it matters if you're an L&D or all of HR. I think the skills that you get out of this program lend itself to HR professionals, LD professionals, and business professionals who are trying to drive transformational change with people. I think the types of students who I've seen are most attracted to this program run the gamut. Early career professionals who are really trying to keep the momentum on the education that they've learned formally. Mid-career professionals who are really thinking about how to up-level themselves and take the next challenge of their career and of their personal life. Really seasoned professionals who want to learn what's happening in industry and what's being taught in these types of programs. And I think that's the flexibility and the beauty of the program, that no matter where you are and where you are in your life stage and career stage, the learnings and the tools and the quality and caliber of experience will resonate with you, and it's something for everyone.
And for a final word on the benefits of the program, let's hear again from Stephen, who you'll recall is a former student who graduated in 2015 following a successful career in the military.
I would recommend it for those who have a willingness to learn and openness to learn. Openness to kind of shed what they thought or think and to adapt some new learning concepts and frameworks. I would recommend this to a person who has been working to get there, but they're just stuck here, right? And they need a little bit of help. That person who's having difficult conversations and don't know how to say the right things at the right time to the right people, but they need some help with that. It's hard not to give so much into this program and not come out changed. I don't know how you will not go into this program and give yourself and not come out changed in a better way. I just don't know how that's possible.
Thank you so much for joining me for this look at the individual benefits of the University of Houston's Executive Masters in HRD. I want to thank my guests for the episode. You heard from Winston Joes, Anne Lee, Ed Monsivais, Ashley Naud, Manny Rodriguez, Guillermo Martinez Sanz, Charles Shaw, Consuelo Waite, Sharonda White, and Stephen Woods. I hope that their stories have encouraged you to reflect on your own experiences of education programs and the benefits you've experienced from your own education. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll be pleased to hear that episode 2 is also available, where we explore how the Executive Masters has been designed to deliver the individual benefits that you've just heard about. Then, next week, in episode 3, we take a second look at benefits by exploring how executive education impacts the organizations employing students and alumni. I hope you'll join me for that episode. Until then, this is Darren Short signing off from Executive HRD. Executive HRD is brought to you by the University of Houston's Executive Masters in HRD and is a production of allbypodcast.com.